BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation, love having you in on this Monday, reacting to the Cincinnati loss and looking ahead to the Baylor Bears matchup tomorrow. The conference schedule, it's a little different now, Mitch. We got some Tuesday action. We got some Saturday day games coming up. So that's been kind of fun seeing these just a different cadence to conference schedule with BYU and Baylor taking place tomorrow. Pre-game starts at 6 p.m. We're taking your calls all throughout the hour. 801-575-8255. Is it time to hit the panic button, Cougar Nation? You can chime in on any other topics related to this BYU basketball team. Mitch, let's throw that question your direction. Is it time to hit that panic button?
Not yet, Matt, because this BYU team is in the toughest conference in America, and this league produced a team last year that started 0-5 in Big 12 play and reached the NCAA tournament. That's the West Virginia Mountaineers. So what we've seen is that this league, you can, you know, start with a lot of losses and still achieve the heights that BYU is chasing. You know, the goal of this season is with how you got started the year with non-conference play, you got to get to the NCAA tournament. Anything less than the NCAA tournament now would be a letdown. Now, I think in the preseason, having this conversation about having a 10-point lead at the half against a team like Cincinnati would make you feel pretty good and like, okay, strides are being made. But the manner in which BYU played in non-conference, that was a little bit worrisome. And I don't think Cougar fans want to experience the, you know, feeling of a huge letdown. But again, this league and how the advanced metrics love the Big 12 and they love BYU still being at number 4 in the net ranking after the loss, they still have everything in front of them, and I think that's exciting. But, yes, I do admit the style of play was concerning because that front court with an injured Fusini Traore was worrisome. Having no strong presence down low is concerning because then you're resorting to almost 50-threes, and there's no real threat in the post. So BYU needs Foos to get healthy in a hurry. But no, I'm not panicking at all yet on BYU. And honestly, I think they can be a team that bounces back and can still achieve everything that they want to this season.
I'm with you. I'm not ready to panic yet. If they had shot 50% from the field, sure. Maybe it would be time to panic. But the fact that they shot so poorly and still had a chance late in that game. You know, if Trevin Nell makes a pair of free throws, it's a 6-point game with a couple minutes to go. It can go any direction. Instead, they just can't buy a bucket, even at the free throw line, and it gets away from them. I am concerned, though. You touched on the low post scoring. You know, Foos only played 3 minutes in the second half, which I thought was a little interesting, considering they were just getting blasted in the paint. Maybe you try and mix him in a little bit. I know he's working off of injury, but still, he only played 8 minutes, for heaven's sakes. You get outscored in the paint 30-12. You get out-rebounded 45-36. Those things are concerning to me because I feel like there could be a lot of games in the Big 12, Mitch, where you're out-rebounded and you don't score a lot in the paint. And if that happens, it's going to be hard to win games. Look, I'm doing some quick math here. They made seven more. They were plus 21 from the three-point line, and they lost by double digits. Think about that. That's not a good stat to be that far ahead from the 3-point line and to still lose. It wasn't like the Utah game where the Utah game came down to the last play and they turned it over. There was no opportunities in the last 2 minutes of the game to do anything because the lead was so wide. So they have got to address the rebounding and the points of the paint. Do they need to kill people in the paint and on the glass? No, because their rebounding margin coming into this game, they were over 13, plus 13 in rebounding margin. They don't need to double-digit out-rebound teams, but they cannot get blasted like they did on the defensive glass and in the paint because it's just hard to overcome that, man.
Let's get out to the phone line, 801-575-8255. Rob, are you panicking on this BYU basketball team?
So I'm panicking on the leadership with this team. Somebody needs to step up. So My opinion is that's got to be Dallin Hall. I think he's the guy, and I'm ready for him to step up. So, Dallin, if you're listening, I'm calling you out. It's time to step up and to start being the leader of this team. And I thought the decision-making process from him just needs to improve. You know, poor shots. And, yeah, in the big games, the tight games, he just needs to step up and make better decisions. And I think he could lead this team to be better than they are.
Thanks for the call, Rob. You know, Dallin Hall finished with 10 points, 3 of 13 from the field, 2 of 12 from 3. He had 2 turnovers, 3 assists. There was that shot, though, where it was near the Marriott Center logo. BYU was getting a little bit of momentum. They were down by 4. They cut the deficit from 8 to 4. And he jacks up a 35-40 footer, kind of the shot that, you know, Mark Pope was indirectly referencing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it just felt like it deflated the momentum that BYU was gaining as it hit the iron and Cincinnati was off and running. I think Rob makes a good point, Matt, that Dallin Hall has got to be great for BYU. I watched the practices, and he's a vocal leader. I think that's a promising sign. Like, he instructs guys where they need to be in practice. He's everything that looks like a leader, but he's just got to elevate his play on the court because, as of late, he struggled a little bit.
2 of 12 from 3 in the loss, and I like Rob referencing the decision-making, and this goes for multiple players. If you do not have it from 3, it's okay. We can't just be taking 40-foot shots because he took, what, off memory, 4 of his 12 three-pointers were well beyond the three-point line.
Yeah.
Well beyond the three-point line. Get to the rim. Get others involved. Run the offense. Like, that's what you have to do as the point guard. And, look, I would love it if Dallin Hall eventually became a Steph Curry type to where you just – or a Jimmer. let's keep within the world of BYU. If he can become a Jimmer to where you don't – hey, any three's okay – great. Is he there now, though? I don't think so. I don't think he's there yet as an offensive player. So I'm totally with Rob. He's got to make better decisions because that's what the point guard has to do. And there were too many settling for possessions when they could have had a better shot.
801-575-8255. Feel free to call in. Share your thoughts if you're panicking on this BYU basketball team, or share your thoughts on the game tomorrow against Baylor for this BYU team. You know, another thing that kind of gave me a little bit of panic coming out of Saturday, Matt, was just the sheer physicality and the athleticism of Cincinnati. Now, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking to Cougar Nation out there that BYU maybe didn't have the athletes compared to another opponent. Like, BYU's been living in that space for decades, whether it's football, basketball, so many different sports. But to face a team like Cincinnati, who, like you, is also a newcomer, but unlike you, they had so many new pieces that were coming together on the fly. BYU's got the continuity. I thought that continuity would kind of win the day over simply athletes and athleticism and physicality, but it was staggering how big of a difference there was on Saturday night against Cincy.
Yeah, especially in the second half, too, because Azeez Bandango, maybe a familiar name here in the state, he played at Utah Valley last year, transferred to Cincinnati, and he had been battling an injury. He did not get the start. And then in the second half, Coach Wes Miller for Cincinnati said, hey, looks like you're moving well. Let's roll with you. And he played the majority of the second half, and he was a difference maker, double-double. That's the type of in-game adjustments that I think that you'd like to see Coach Pope evolve to, where if a Trevenel is that hot, play him 18 to 20 minutes in the second half. It's okay. He's going to make it. Or in the case of Foos, maybe Foos is down the road getting healthier. Maybe play him more in a situation like that if he has it going like Cincinnati did with Azeez Bandango, because you're totally right. That physicality, that athleticism, that shut down BYU in the second half.
Taking our second break, news, traffic, and weather coming up on the other side. We'll get an update, too, coming up around the corner on the national championship game between Washington and Michigan. But then we'll also get into what's trending up and trending down with this BYU basketball team as they're in Waco getting ready to take on the number 14 Baylor Bears tomorrow night. This is Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the Cougars.